Good evening, everybody. Welcome to our regular council session for this August 20th, 2013. Now I would ask Councilwoman Rose to lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Madam City Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Mayor McLean?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Scott?
Here.
Councilmember Baca?
Here.
Councilmember Bell?
Here.
Councilmember Edwards?
Here.
Councilmember Martinez?
She's in the building. I'm not sure where she's at. Right at the here. She's running. Hold off about 30 seconds and she'll be in her seat.
Say here, Cynthia.
Here.
All right.
Councilmember Maslany?
Present.
Councilmember Rose?
Here.
Councilmember Wallen?
Here.
You have a quorum, Your Honor.
Thank you. Item 2 is a consent agenda. Madam City Clerk, would you please read that into the...
Item 2A, approval of the July 2nd, 2013 City Council Minutes.
Thank you. What is the pleasure of Council on the consent agenda?
I'd make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
That's what we were waiting for. We have a motion from Councilwoman Martinez to approve the consent agenda. Is there a second? Councilwoman Baca? Okay.
I'll second that, Mayor.
We have a second from Councilwoman Rose. Any discussion? Roll call vote. Please check your ballots. Make sure you voted as intended. Tally, please. Motion passes 9-0. Thank you, Council. Next item on our agenda is the approval of the regular agenda. And we may take a short break between 8:30 and 9 if we're still here after this lengthy agenda. Mayor Pro Tem.
Mayor, I did have a question if we were going to have an executive session over the airport issue.
Not at this time, unless the city manager...
Next week.
Good question. Thank you. What is the pleasure of council on item 3? Councilman Bell, I see you waving your hand.
Mayor, I would like to move that we approve the regular agenda as printed.
Thank you. We have a motion. Is there a second? Councilwoman Baca?
Yes, Mayor, I'll second that.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Please check your ballots. Make sure you voted as intended. Madam City Clerk, thank you. Motion passes 9-0. Next item on our agenda is ceremonies. Item 4A is a presentation by Dr. Chris Fiedler from School District 27J. Looks like you have a bunch of
friends.
Members.
I do have friends. I would like to introduce quickly our board president, Joan Kness, who's in the audience, and her husband, Adam, and then our board vice president, Patrick Day. I think that's all that came in for moral support. I was surprised to be under ceremonies tonight. I thought I'd be under public comment, but anything works, so I'm glad to have you all as an audience. Mr. Mayor, council members, thank you very much for the time tonight. And I'm going to give Mr. Escobel a handout that if you'll share, that'd be great.
So it's better under ceremonies. You're not limited to time.
The mayor told me I had 5 minutes, he was going to pound the gavel. But I appreciate the time. So my purpose here this evening is to just talk a little bit about some of the good news in 27J. So I've had regular conversations, it seems, where I'm reminded that one of the first things that prospective businesses or families ask about when they consider moving to Brighton is, tell us about the school system. So what I have for you is a handout that is entitled School District 27-Day Points of Pride. And I won't go over each and every point of pride, but it's some things I do want to drive home. And then I want to talk a little bit about school performance frameworks. Those came out late Friday, and Kelly Corbett, our chief academic officer, and I were working on that a little bit this afternoon, and we'll hopefully have a press release for that here in the next week or so for everybody. And then also on my mind tonight is enrollment, which is up, if you're not aware of that. But if you take a look at the handout there, Council, do you all have copies now in front of you? Okay. Just some reminders in terms of when people ask you about the district, I want to arm you with some facts, and you can make your own decision on whether or not you want to share them or not, but I think we've got some good news out there. As you know, we continue to be a very fast-growing school district. We continue to have the highest graduation rate in Adams County for the Metropolitan School District, so right at 79%. Over the past 5 years, this is the new data from 2013, our TCAP proficiency scores have increased on average 6.4 percentage points, outpacing the state at only 2.4%. We've had some tremendous gains, particularly in ninth grade, where we saw almost a 20% jump in ninth grade writing, I believe. You see a little bit there on the performance frameworks. 14 of the 17 district managed schools are either on a performance plan or an improvement plan, and actually 9 of those schools of our schools, district schools, are on performance. That's the highest plan we can be on when you consider academic achievement, academic growth, growth gaps, those types of things. So we're feeling really good about the performance frameworks, and I can't wait to share that once we have it a little more finalized for presentation. The class of 2013 earned $4 million in scholarship money from national, state, and local levels, as well as 3 Daniel Scholars this past year and 3 Military Academy appointments, one to the Air Force Academy, one to West Point, and one to the Virginia Military Institute. You're all familiar with how well the Bulldog DECA chapter does. In 2013, they were chapter of the year for the state, had 12 students advance to the national competition. I think you're all aware, hopefully you've read, that we launched our very first blended learning environment, which is Bolt Academy. It's over in the Brighton Learning and Resource Campus. As of this morning, because I checked, we have 26 students enrolled. Our goal for the year was 50, and we think we'll continue to gain over the course of the school year. And that's a blended experience, so kids do work online at home, but they also have support in the old CSU rooms, I think, over there in the Blark, where they receive assistance from a learning coach, a teacher principal, and a counselor there as well. So we're excited about that. We just did not have an option there for kids who were opting out for other online experiences. We think that blended environment will help hold kids accountable. I think, I hope you're aware that Northeast Elementary School is in year 2 of its International Baccalaureate candidacy. Michael Clough and his staff are working towards that. Southeast Elementary was among 12 Metro Denver schools honored as a 2013 Foundations for Great Schools Award winner. That was in 13. And South Elementary is a previous winner, if you're not aware of that. And this is also new news. Southeast Elementary preschool teacher Carrie Mendoza was recognized as the 2013 University of Colorado Best Should Teach Award recipient. So that is new and improved for the new news for the district. A little bit on performance frameworks. So the state of Colorado, the Department of Education, ranks schools in one of 4 plans. They are either on a performance plan, so they're meeting the state's expectations for achievement and growth and addressing growth gaps. They're on an improvement plan, which means they've got some work to do. Priority improvement, which gets to be a little alarming, and then turnaround, which is not where we'd like to be. I'm proud to tell you that no school currently is on a turnaround plan. That's not always been the case over time, but we no longer have any school on turnaround. I'm also very pleased to tell you tonight, for the first time ever, both Prairie View High School and Brighton High School are on performance plans. That's a first for both of the comprehensive high schools. Eagle Ridge continues to be on performance. We, all 3 of the schools and the high schools in the district are on performance plans. That's as high as a rating as we can receive from the state, so we feel good about that. And then specific to Brighton, in terms of serving Brighton kids, because I was had a nice breakfast with the mayor and the city manager about specifically how we're serving Brighton kids. 7 out of 9 elementaries in Brighton that serve Brighton kids, whether they're charter or district managed, 7 out of 9 are on performance plans. That's as good as it can get. And then again, I mentioned the two comprehensive high schools have moved up from improvement to performance plans. That's the first, and of course, Eagle Ridge has lived there in the past as well. If you consider all of the schools in Brighton that serve our kids, we have 12 out of 17 on performance plans, which is 70% of our schools are reaching that high mark. We have 3 that are on improvement, and two that are on priority improvement. Of course, those are schools we're working on. And last but not least, I would share just a little bit on enrollment. We are currently 163 students over our projected enrollment. And of those 163 over our district managed schools. And we're under enrollment for a charter. But the things I wanted to share specifically that might shock you a little bit, Brighton High School, the current enrollment as of this morning was 1,877 kids. That's 1,877. And Prairie View High School, that school that was new not so long ago, 1,833 students there this morning. So we've got 3,600 plus students in our district managed schools, and Eagle Ridge Academy has another 420 as of this morning. So space is an issue at the high school. So I wanted to share that with you. But that's my ceremony for this evening. I appreciate the time. I would gladly answer questions if that meets your all desire and wish.
Thank you very much, Doctor. Questions, Dr. Feeden? No, for the people that are listening and the people that are at home watching this session on television, you need to, when a vote comes, and I'm doing this as a public service announcement just for this city and for the school district, you need to make sure that the ballot issues are passed, both for schools and for the mill levy. The city hasn't, or the district hasn't been able to get a mill levy passed in the last two or three elections?
Four.
That's really sad. When we have the achievement that we have in this district, that means the teachers are working, it means the kids are working, it means the administrative staff is working, and kudos to the school board also. Why? Everybody needs to look at themselves and ask themselves that question. Why can't we get a mill levy increase passed? It's sad. It really is sad.
I promised I'd only bring good news tonight. I made that promise to myself, not to talk about funding.
Because I will tell you, Mayor, I'm bringing it up because I've served on the committee many times, and I'm really ashamed that we can't get it passed.
And I appreciate your kind words, but I could not be more proud of our teachers, support staff, and our principals for what they've done. You probably saw the press release, hope you did. When you take a look at our incremental growth over time, we have made tremendous gains. When you take a look over the last 5 years, we are absolutely better academically than we were 5 years ago. And that's, of course, during a time when we were making severe budget cuts. Well, I'm real proud of our staff and kids. So,
Mayor Pro Tem.
I want to express my gratitude to you and to the board for looking after our kids. I know the staff does the work every day, but without your leadership, it would be difficult. When we look at our kids, it's pretty amazing. I get to go out and visit lots of schools. That's what I do for a living, and I do all the schools around us in Adams County. And I can tell you, just like the city is thin on staff, as you can imagine, I know the school district is that way. With support staff. Now, that doesn't mean our teachers aren't in classrooms comparable to these other districts in size, because they are. I have to say that you've done a tremendous job with a little bit of funding that you have, and echo the mayor's sentiment on that, and hope that people can find a way, because there is a state ballot issue. We don't have to wait for a mill levy. If they would see their way into supporting education. Education is the economic driver of our communities, and we need it so that we can progress and move forward. And again, I just want to thank you and your board for all your leadership and work for our students.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. Councilwoman Rose?
Well, I wanted to thank you as well, and I'm so glad to see this new program, the BOLT program, that you are instituting. This is really going to be the future I see in education, as the online learning. It's had kind of a shaky start, I think, but that's where we're going. I mean, kids are very aware of how to use their computers, and I really feel that this will then also lead to the fact that we won't need as many buildings to house all of our students if we can allow them to do a lot of it home online. And I realize that isn't the sole learning experience, that there also has to be the social as well as learning how to get along in a classroom situation. But I definitely feel listening to a lot of different experts in what our future years will be like, that online learning will be play a big part of that. And I'm really happy to see that you're looking forward and going to try something different.
Thank you, Irma. Thank you, Councilwoman. Councilman Maslanek.
Thank you, Mayor. Two things, Doctor. First, I want to definitely congratulate the district on keeping the what I call interactive learning going on, i.e. DECA programs and things like that, that really teach kids about how to step out into the world after they're done with high school. You know, there's a large percentage that go to college, but there's a large percentage that won't. And I feel that, you know, with keeping those programs, you guys have really tooled up your students to be able to make that next step. And then just a real quick piggyback on what the mayor was talking about, and if my number is a little off, Doctor, you can please correct me, but the last numbers that I saw, and people at home watching this, look at your neighbor's kids in the eye, look at your kids in the eye, and say, you guys are worth $54 a year in mill levy funding, but your friends over in Jefferson County are worth $730 a year, and your friends in Cherry Creek are worth $1,300 a year. Look at them and tell them that, and then decide if you want to vote on the mill levy or not, or the state funding when it comes through. And, you know, there's not a one of us up here that doesn't, you know, that likes higher taxes. But when you stop and think about the money that it's going to put on your property taxes, maybe take a coffee a week out of Starbucks, maybe two, and that's about what the impact is. A little bit can go a long way.
Thanks, Councilman. Thank you again for coming.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Continue. You set the bar high.
We will do that.
Keep it up then.
They set the bar high. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time tonight.
Next on our agenda is introduction of new employees by our Human Resource Director, Karen Borkowski.
They always look panicked when she's there.
How little do they know?
These two gentlemen are eager to come here, as you can see. Both of them started in the water shop just 2 weeks ago, so they, you know, they haven't avoided me very long, though, so that's great. Brent is over here. Brent Helmke, he has been a plumber and commercial diesel driving and done driving in the oil fields. He was born in Thornton, lived in Fort Lupton, and now moved to Brighton just in July because he's engaged to be married to Lori. And between the two of them, they have three children, Matthew 9, Kaylee 14, Destiny 12, and a dog named Gus. And he has been married to Lori, I mean engaged to Lori, and she says he's not very romantic, but I know I owe you barbecue now. But he also takes care of his 83-year-old fiance's mother, grandmother, so I think that's pretty awesome. He loves to fish, go hiking, and go to concerts, and he can be bribed with barbecue and seafood. He wants you to know he's very hardworking and family-oriented, and he loves to work and sleep, but in different places, so it's okay. And then we have Brian LeBeau over here. And he has been a hazmat technician, a prison guard, and has also worked for Loomis Armor Trucking. So he was born in Illinois. He's an Army child who moved all over, including different countries, and then settled in Colorado. He moved to Lac Bui a few years ago, and he is married with one child to Eileen, and they were high school sweethearts. They've been married for almost 7 years, and they have Riker, who's so cute back there. He's five, and he can't wait to start kindergarten. And Brian likes hunting, working on cars, computers, fishing, and barbecuing, so they have something in common. He has two dogs and two cats, and he likes doing-it-yourself work, and he's very outgoing. So we're very happy to have them here.
Brent and Brian, welcome. Welcome. Thanks, Karen. Next. Item 5, public invited to be heard on matters not on the agenda, and we have two speakers. Well, actually three. because the first one is a tag team of Tom Green and James Bigasaw. Would you like to approach the podium, give your names and addresses for the record?
Oh, good evening. You know, pretty tough act to follow, Dr. Fiedler and 27J and Karen with that enthusiastic introduction of new employees. But good evening, Mayor, members of the council. We're very pleased to be here. I'm James Vigasaw, Director of the East District with United Power, and Tom Green is our local community affairs representative for United Power. Our address is 500 Cooperative Way, Brighton, Colorado, 80601. 03. All right, thank you. See, he's the technical guy, and I'm the talker, and he steers me in the right direction. So, anyway, very, very pleased to be here tonight. I know this is my third year of being here to present, and I think this is Tom's first year. But we're here on behalf of United Power to present the City of Brighton with our capital credit check. And as most of you are probably aware, United Power is a cooperative, which means that if you get your power from United Power, you are the owner of the company. And so as everybody, our 68,000 meter holders in the district, they elect the board of directors, the 11 of us, which I'm one of them, and we are the ones that manage the affairs of the company on your behalf. So with that, we're pleased to be able to refund this year $35,622.17 to the City of Brighton for the 174 accounts that you have within the cooperative. So.
Who gets the check?
Pretty much just being mayor, I get all the money. But if I share, I'm going to get $4,000. Thanks, James.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate all that you guys are doing. This will help the city.
All right. Thank you.
So, James, Troy used to bring a great big check.
Well, we have really been working on office expenses, and we took the great big checks out. So
budget cuts to help you. We're trying to do it at the lowest
the
cost possible.
We're complaining about them anyway.
Any other questions?
I was going to address a little bit about the outage that we had over the weekend. And we've had a couple in the past week. We had one 2 weeks ago where the west side of Brighton was out, and that was in regards to a Mylar balloon that got in the lines. And those can really do significant damage. We try to warn everybody, if you've got a Mylar balloon at your party or whatever, poke a hole in it and throw it away. Please don't let it float away. Those can really do some damage. This one over the weekend was kind of a combination one. We had one on Friday, which was due to an underground fault. When our crews encountered that, what they did was they tried to sectionalize that and reroute some of those houses so that they wouldn't be inconvenienced. That was holding until about mid-afternoon Saturday when all those air conditioners kicked in, and we blew a fuse. And then in attempting to restart that fuse, they actually had an arc that came from that. And so they had to take some additional houses down so that they could get that fuse repaired and put back in. Some of the confusion that we had was some of the people calling in. We had just installed a new automated phone system, and that allows you to enter your telephone number and let us know you have an outage right away. A lot of times in those initial stages, we're not really sure what caused the outage or what really is going on, but it helps us to know who was all involved in that outage. Unfortunately, some of those people, your cell phone will work if we have it on record. If you're calling from your cell phone, and typically that's what you have still available or still has power in an outage, make sure you call our office and get that cell phone registered. Otherwise, when it asks for your telephone number, you need to enter that home phone or that landline that you have on record. Additionally, we do have a preferred number you can call. Typically, you call 659-0551, which is our general number, or you can call 637-1350, get you into our dispatch system a little faster. But again, we encourage you, most people have smartphones, let's get that telephone number on record, on file with your account, so that will also count when you call in. And additionally, if you've got that information, we typically post updates to our website, and you can like us on Facebook, we do updates on that too. And so you can get some of the latest information on that outage and how we are in the repair efforts by using your smartphones when you're out like that. So we apologize for the inconvenience. Nobody likes an outage, but we did our best to get it going. And we're actually doing additional study on the lines in that area to make sure we have the reliability that we like to see in that. So there will be continued work on those areas to improve the system. So any other questions?
I'm hoping
637-1350 is a faster number to get in. Otherwise, our general number, 659-0551. And we encourage you to call during regular business hours and get those cell phones registered, also associated with your account. Thank you.
Tom, thank you, and you're doing a great job. You had big shoes to fill when you stepped in behind Rich Gonzalez, who had been with the company 42 years, but you're getting your face out there, and you're doing a good job.
So I still call him for updates and help, so appreciate it. Thank you.
Take care. Thanks, Jamie. And next is a no stranger to the council, Mr. Ken Mitchell. You've signed up, and Ken was on council for 39 years. He was mayor for a lot of years.
That 39 years kind of wore me down, too. I was down here about 6 months ago and asked you for a little help with Little Britches Rodeo. Little Britches Rodeo was on 1st and 2nd of June. We had about 80 kids that showed up, rode bulls and horses and calves, and had a good time. Cost about $300 per kid to put on that rodeo. So anyway, I brought a present certificate down, a certificate of appreciation that I want to give to the mayor and the city council for your help in getting the Little Britches Rodeo off the ground.
You didn't bring any money?
We can have money.
Ken has stopped working for the community.
Mayor, thank you for the help.
Thank you, Ken. Okay, next item on our agenda is item 6A. Is a resolution of the City Council of the City of Brighton, Colorado, approving an amendment / realignment of a portion of the Cherokee 24-inch natural gas transmission pipeline, which is an underground pipeline generally traversing various parcels located in the City of Brighton, Colorado, as shown in Exhibit A, attached here too. As previously approved by the City Council pursuant to Conditional Use Resolution 2012-119 on October 16, 2012, and setting forth details as related thereto. I am now going to officially open the public hearing. Madam City Clerk, would you please verify that the necessary postings and publications were done?
Yes, Your Honor. The notice of public hearing was published in the Brighton Banner on August 1st, 2013.
Thank you. Mr. Escobel, who will be presenting?
Yes, Holly Prather, our Community Development Director, will be presenting this matter.
Welcome, Holly.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the Council, Mayor. I'm presenting before you this evening the Cherokee 24-inch natural gas pipeline conditional use amendment. The applicant is XL Energy, doing business as the Public Service Company of Colorado. They are requesting an amendment to their conditional use approval, which was Resolution 2012-119, which you all approved on October 16th of 2012. The amendment is to realign a portion of the pipeline. The route where it crosses Bridge Street was currently on the west side of I-76, and they are proposing to move it to the east side. I should note that the amendment is only for the realignment. All of the original documents that you received in that, I think, 3 or 4 inch binder back in October remain the same. The only thing is changing is the alignment. You didn't want to do that night reading again? So here's a graphic representation of the alignment. The original route is in the purple. So it comes up from the south. Here's the purple alignment as it moves to the Bromley Park Industrial Subdivision. It crossed over 76 and went through the Bromley Park Residential Area. And this was all the multifamily. It's the townhomes that are out there, the Meadow townhomes. And then it crossed Highway 7, or Bridge Street, and then went northeast and followed along the Brighton East Farms filing number 3 subdivision, which is a subdivision that has been platted but not constructed. So there's nothing out there currently. They are proposing to realign it. They'll keep that purple alignment, the original alignment, as it moves through the industrial park. And then instead of crossing over at 76 there, they will follow the CDOT frontage road and stay in CDOT right-of-way. And this will be the new yellow alignment. And they'll cross over Bridge Street just north of the industrial park and then keep that purple alignment as it moves on the east side of that Brighton East Farms filing number 3 subdivision. So that's the change right there, is that portion of the realignment, very small portion. The applicant's justification for the proposed realignment is that they are some good benefits to it. One is they'll get additional construction placement from moving it from the west side to the east side. There's some constraints there on the west side with the pond that's existing out there. And if they move it to the east side, they have a little bit more flexibility in the construction. It also increases the distance from the residential properties, which are in Bromley Park, that multifamily area, and, of course, the single-family detached residential. It also keeps it away from the Brighton Crossing Filing 2 subdivision. And it also affects less private properties because now it's being placed within the CDOT right-of-way along that frontage road. And it affects less underground utilities. So those would be the benefits of moving it to the east side. In terms of the public hearing notice, we posted 2 signs for the realignment portion only. That was on the north side of Bridge Street and on the south side of Bridge Street on the east side of I-76 along that frontage road. We also put publication in the Brighton Banner on August 1st, and we sent notice to property owners within 300 feet of that realignment area on both sides. We've received no public comment to date. This was in the original packet and in the original public hearing, but I'm going to go through it again just to make sure that everybody understands what the conditional use criteria is. The first is that it complies with the requirements of the Land Use and Development Code in the zone districts in which it is located. It's consistent with the purpose and intent of the Land Use and Development Code. It's compatible with surrounding areas, is harmonious with the character of the neighborhood, not detrimental to the immediate area, is not detrimental to the future development of the area, or detrimental to the health, safety, or welfare of the inhabitants of the city. Complies with the 2020 comprehensive plan and other plans of the city, and it may be necessary to apply restrictions and conditions and approvals on the conditional use. And of course, you did that with your original resolution back in October of 2012. The resolution contained, I think, over 29 conditions on it, so it was an exhaustive list on that. And those had to do with things like noise, odors, dust, air pollution, landscaping, construction, the staging areas, traffic control, adverse impacts, pipeline safety features, operations and leak detections, access, drainage, and erosion control, provision of services, above-ground structures, valve sets, and lighting. So those lists of conditions was an exhaustive list that covered most of those things related to the construction and maintenance and operation of that pipeline. And those conditions would remain the same. The only thing that really changes is the alignment. The relevant criteria that you used back in October to approve that original resolution included the hours of operation, street and road capacity, off-street parking, fencing, screening, and landscaping, building bulk, height, setbacks, location, and external appearance, usable open space, signs and lighting, noise, vibration, air pollution, or similar environmental considerations. These are all listed in the Land Use and Development Code for conditional use approval criteria. In terms of the recommendation, the realignment does not negatively impact the criteria for the conditional use approval or the relevant conditions that were placed on it back in October. In fact, staff believes that the realignment is better for the city and the nearby city residences. And all the conditions from Resolution 2012-119 would remain in full force in effect. And that's all I have. I'm here for questions, and I know that the applicant is here with their representatives, and they also have a presentation which can get into further detail. Thank you.
Thank you, Holly. At this time, does the applicant wish to add anything? Please come forward and give your name and address for the record, Mr. Preston Gibson.
Honorable Mayor, members of the council, my name is Preston Gibson. I'm an area manager with Xcel Energy. My address is 5460 West 60th Avenue, Arvada, Colorado. I just wanted to say I really appreciate staff's review and thorough analysis of this project. We are of course, very appreciative also of the recommendation for approval. We have a very brief presentation. I'm going to move through quickly because I think most of this has already been covered, so just a couple of minutes of your time this evening, then I'll be available to answer any questions. If we go to the next slide, please. Okay, perfect. Just a reminder, this pipeline is being constructed to allow us to comply with the Clean Air, Clean Jobs Act, which was passed by the legislature back in 2010 to dramatically clean our air quality. We're moving from coal to natural gas on this facility, and you can see the implementation needs to be complete by January 1, 2018. I'm pleased to tell you that we are on course to do that. We're on schedule. And the Clean Air, Clean Jobs implementation will mean that, we have at least an 80% reduction in mercury, nitrogen oxides, and sulfur dioxide. Just at this plant alone, you can see we have 100% mercury reduction and closing on 100% for the other constituents of air pollution. The conditional use permit was 2012-199, approved October 16 last year, as Ms. Prather has indicated to you. We're simply moving the pipeline from one side of the interstate to the other. This was a request by CDOT, and the alignment will be completely within CDOT right-of-way. It's along their frontage road. So a request by CDOT in their right-of-way. Originally, we crossed the interstate to the southwest there, that location, because there's an existing pipeline, which they typically like to see. But because of the factors that were mentioned this evening, we are agreeing with CDOT that the better side of the freeway to be on is where we're proposing it now on the southeast frontage road. Fewer underground utilities, fewer private properties, further away from residential development, and so on and so forth. I think Ms. Prather already went over these conditions in this as well. We mailed a letter to five landowners adjacent to the alignment route amendment. We indicated that we included a map and reasons for the route change. An Xcel Energy representative contact information was on that mailer if they had any questions. We still have our project website, email addresses, hotline, and so on up and running. We didn't receive any comments. None of us received any comments on this proposal. Again, here's the schedule. We plan to actually begin getting ready for construction the latter part of this year, and by early next year, we're going to in earnest start full construction of the pipeline. It's a 34-mile pipeline from Fort Lupton area all the way down to the Cherokee Power Plant. It's about a 9-month construction schedule. We should be done by about end of September, October of next year. So we move very quickly once we get underway. Just contact information, project information, and so on. That's the presentation. We have a team here that if I can't answer questions, they can back me up. But we appreciate your time this evening, and I'm available for any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Preston. At this time, I'll ask the audience if there's anybody that would like to question the applicant. Is there anyone who would like to? I'm sorry. Please come forward and give your name and address for the record.
My name is Brent Bailey. I live at 17280 East 168th Avenue, Brighton, Colorado, 80601. I just have a question. Where is the Cherokee Power Plant?
Well, it's at about 64th and York Street.
Okay.
It's on Brooklyn Avenue.
Thank you.
Great. If everybody has easy questions like that, Mr. Gibson will be very happy. Thank you. Is there anyone who'd like to speak on behalf of the request? Is there anyone who'd like to speak against the request? Madam City Clerk, have you received any correspondence in favor of or against this request?
No, Your Honor, we have not.
Thank you. This time, questions or comments from City Council? Mayor Pro Tem.
I have an easy one. Can you estimate about how many fewer coal trains we'll have come through town now?
estimation initially. I can't tell you, unfortunately. We did have that information, but that's sort of gone from my head at this point. But we know there will be fewer coal trains. That's a fact. And the other benefit, I think, that's maybe sometimes forgotten is the byproduct of that coal, the fly ash, that has to be hauled out in trucks. So there's going to be dozens of trucks every day that are eliminated off our roads, which is also another added benefit. I wish I knew the coal trains. I just don't can't remember.
I'll bet you can get that. And he's waiting to hear that. So, no, thank you. Okay. Councilman Bell.
The decision process was made a lot simpler for me when you told the community that it is all in CDOT right away. And so it's just moving it from one side of the interstate to the other. It's still on the CDOT property right away. So thank you. It seems to be an appropriate request and one that I think I can support. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Edwards?
Hi. Thank you, Preston. Certainly, I thank you for making the move to the other side of the road, and I think it'll be a great deal for our residents since we're putting that further from the residential area. My question would be is how come CDOT took so long to come forward and say, hey, let's move it over here?
I think they were currently, when we were processing the application initially, they were having some discussions with the city about this interchange, and the city, I think, plans to build it within the next 5 years or so, whenever funding's available. And those discussions hadn't been fully completed when we were processing our application. Now that they have moved further down the road with those discussions, they realize that it would be much better if we moved the pipeline to the other side of the interchange. It just helps their project.
I think it's a win-win for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Councilman. I have no further people that have indicated they wish to speak, so I'm going to officially close the public hearing, and the matter is now before council. What's the pleasure of council? So I think Edward's hand went up first, and then as Lanark or vice versa, but both of us, if you'd like to indicate what you'd like to do.
Yes, I would. I'd like to make the motion that we approve this resolution, approving the realignment of the Cherokee pipeline.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards.
And I will gladly second that motion, Mayor.
Okay. Thank you, Councilman Aslanik. I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Mayor Pro Tem?
Just real quickly, this is a really good project, I think, for the environment, for Brighton, for everyone around, and so, and this little piece just made it even better. So I want to thank you all for it, and we look forward to 2014. So,
thank you. Anybody else? Roll call vote. Make sure you voted as intended. The motion passes 9-0.
Thank you,
Holly. Next item on our agenda is item 6B. Item 6B is a request to continue the public hearing regarding a resolution for the final plat development agreement and vested property rights for the Mountain View Estates, filing number 1 and filing number 2, to a date certain of September 17th, 2013. Mr. Escobar? Officially open the public hearing, and Madam City Clerk, were the necessary postings and publications done?
Yes, Your Honor, the notice of public hearing was published in the Brighton Blade on August 14th, 2013.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Jace?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and City Council. The reason I'm before you this evening is pretty simple. Staff is requesting a continuation of the public hearing that was originally scheduled for tonight regarding the Mountain View Estates. The request is to continue this to a date certain of September 17th of this year. That'll just provide staff and the applicant a little bit of additional time that we need to finalize some of the final negotiations on the requirements for the development agreement, which is one of the items that was on the agenda for tonight. One of the reasons we scheduled this particular project for this evening is that last year, 1 year ago, we brought the preliminary plat for Mountain View Estates to the Planning Commission, and we placed a condition on the approval of that preliminary plat that the final plat would be completed within 1 year of that Planning Commission meeting, which tonight would have been that date. So in addition to my request to continue this public hearing to September 17th, I would also like to request that that condition for the preliminary plat approval be also extended to September 17th. So that really ends my presentation, but I'll be happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Thank you, Jason. Questions of council at this time? No. Okay. So I would entertain a motion to continue this hearing until September 17th as requested. Councilwoman Rose?
I make the motion that we continue the public hearing on the Mountain View Estates filing to September 17th, 2013.
Thank you. We have a motion. Is there a second? Kirby Waller, councilman. I didn't see that hand go up way up.
I know, way up so above my head.
No, I can see.
I would like to second that motion.
Good. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Please check your ballots. Make sure they're registered as you intended. Tally, please. Motion passes 9-0. We will continue this hearing until September 17th. 2013. Mayor Pro Tem is waiving this.
Did I hear you needed a second resolution for something else?
Yes. So about a year ago, we brought the preliminary plat to Planning Commission, and on the resolution that approved that preliminary plat, there was a condition that the final plat would have to be approved by City Council within 1 year of that date, or the preliminary plat would, the approval of that preliminary plat would be null. So the other request is that Council extend that condition to September 17th. I think it meets the intent of what the condition was trying to accomplish, which was to get the final plat approved. And this way, we don't have to go back to Planning Commission and seek another approval of the preliminary plat.
Madam City Attorney.
It would be appropriate to just have a motion to extend the condition for the preliminary plat to September 17, 2013, referencing that it's Mountain View Estates, files 1 and 2.
To get all in, Mayor Pro Tem, because you're going to make the motion.
Sure, close enough.
Or as the city attorney.
Yes, I make a motion to extend.
Continue
until September 17th, the date for the that was stated in the resolution numbers given by our attorney. So I don't have them wrote down.
Extend the deadline for the submittal of a final plat for Mountain View Estates 1 and 2 to September 17th, 2013.
Right, for Mountain Estates 1 and 2 to September 17th.
Mountain View Estates. Good.
I caught the question.
You did. Yeah.
You did that. Okay. We have a motion. Is there a second?
I will second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Roll call vote.
Your Honor, since that was not on the agenda, I will just do a roll call. Mayor McLean?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Scott?
Yes.
Councilmember Baca?
Yes.
Councilmember Bell?
Yes.
Councilmember Edwards?
Yes.
Councilmember Martinez?
Yes.
Councilmember Maslanik?
Yes.
Councilmember Rose?
Yes.
Councilmember Wallen?
Yes.
Your Honor, the motion passes 9-0.
Thank you, Madam City Clerk. Jason, we'll see you in another month.
Yes, thank you.
If not before. Next item on our agenda is item 8, resolutions. 8A is a resolution of the City Council of the City of Brighton, Colorado, authorizing the signing of a mini-grant agreement with Greater Brighton, Colorado, also known as GOCO, in the amount not to exceed $33,000 for the Benedict Park Skate Spot, and authorizing the city manager to sign and execute the grant agreement. Mr. Escudero.
Yes, our Park and Rec Director, Gary Wardle, will handle this matter.
Thank you, Manuel. Mayor, members of City Council, before you tonight is a resolution authorizing the city manager to sign the mini-grant agreement with Great Outdoors Colorado for the grant to fund the Benedict Park Skate Spot. The grant is for $33,000. The total project cost for the construction of the concrete skate ramp is $60,000. We will budget this in the 2014 budget. And that is just for the skate spot. The landscaping around it will be in addition to the $60,000. So the $60,000 just builds the skate spot. But we'll be coming back in January to approve a change order to Designscapes Colorado Contract, who's the one that's building the splash pad in Benedict Park to add the skate spot. They're agreeable. They've given us a price, which will be good in 2014 to build that, and they'll be happy to do it in the fall, in the spring, and we'll still have the project done before school's out next year. So with that, I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Gary. Mayor Pro Tem?
Gary, and I probably won't get this technically right, but the skate park we built was bowl design or something,
right.
And then will this be the street design that's kind of the different one, so the kids will have both designs that they can skate on?
It will. It has a couple of ramps on the end, which are about 3 foot tall, but the rest of it is flat with stairs and ledges for them to skate on instead of the bowls. Correct.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. Any other questions?
I do. I have a question because I'm not sure I understood, but then you caught my eye when you said for a change order. So
right.
What again? I want to get that clarification.
Well, when we bid the Benedict Park splash pad, we included the design for the skate park, and we did not have enough money to actually award the skate spot this year. We had not gotten the final approval of this grant at that point either, so we couldn't authorize anybody to go to work until this grant was approved. And so now that we've got the grant approved, we'll be able to get all the paperwork in place and be ready to start the construction.
Okay, because you know when you come back, I'm going to have this, and I want to make sure I understand that change order. So thank you. And then, you know, how did we come up with the skate spot? It just sounds odd.
It's just the word we, it's a smaller, just
area,
a spot.
Smaller area.
Yeah, it's not a large inline skating rink like we have here or the skate park, which is a larger facility. It is just a spot in the bigger park for skating.
All right, it just sounds very, it sounds really nice until you get to spot. You know, I think of spot, my dog spot, spot, so. It just sounds, you know.
Well, since you bring that up, maybe we could have named the skate spot instead of spot.
Well, I would think we could come up with something a little more creative.
With our audience listening and watching us, maybe they could submit some names.
Cheers. I would love that, Gary.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I'm glad to see that this is getting finalized. We've had a skate park in the Benedict Park for over 25 years now. My husband, when he was mayor for City of Brighton was one of the instigators of getting that in. And it was the only skate park in the whole metro area.
Nice.
So we were a leader for our youth in skate parks. But it had seen its glory days, that's for sure. And getting the new skate park that we now have on Bromley certainly does cover the lack of that for this time. But this also has its purpose in that it's really meant more for the novice, the younger starting skate boarders and skaters that are trying to use this. So it still will be an active place, I'm sure. But I look forward to seeing that done.
Yep. Thank you.
You're going to put that skate ramp with the old fighter plane you play on.
You skate on the wing.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Okay. Councilman Maslanek.
Yes, Mayor, I'd make a motion to approve this resolution no matter what we end up calling it, skate spot, skate location.
Or item 8A. Thank you.
Or item 8A.
We have a motion from Councilman Maslanek, and Councilman Bell is waving his hand.
I'll be delighted to second it.
A motion and a second. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Please check your ballots. Results? 9-0. Motion passes. Thank you, Gary. No utility business. James, thank you. General business, no. Reports? That was one of many that were able to go on a tour of the Metro wastewater treatment plant facility that's being constructed on the northwest side of town, just Highway 85 and 2, and it's, wow, what a construction project that's going on out there. It's amazing all that they're doing in such a short time, and yet all that has to be done. So we'll be hearing progress reports, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on that. But my friends up in Weld County, the commissioners, have decided to go to the ballot with an issue to make Weld County the 51st state in the nation. And since I live in Weld County, I could be a mayor in two counties, one city.
Or the governor.
No. Not going there. No. Stop. So it's interesting. They are going to go to this ballot for the citizens of the city. We will see. Stay tuned. We also hosted the Adams County Council of Governments breakfast at the Senior Center, at the Eagleview Senior Center, last Friday morning. It was well attended by other mayors and city managers in the county. There's a presentation by Comcast. Ken Fellman. They talked a lot. Yeah, that was it. Comcast was mentioned a lot. That's why I was thinking that. But anyhow, there was a tour of the Senior Center, and everybody was delighted with how the Senior Center looked, and they were envious of us. So we're on the map, which is something we can all be very proud of. Department heads, before Robert Smith has anything to say, how about the rest of the department heads? Gary?
Okay, I'll go first.
Go first, sir.
Thank you, Mayor. Kind of follow up on your comments, the South Platte Interceptor, which is the pipe that's going to feed the new wastewater treatment plant. The construction is starting. They will actually start it today with the clearing and grubbing of the trail of the pipe alignment. They'll be in Veterans Park probably tomorrow and have all the clearing and grubbing done in the next 2 weeks. And you'll see the pipeline starting to get constructed also. They'll be in Veterans Park mid to September to start the boring underneath Highway 7. So you'll see some work starting to happen along that alignment fairly quickly. So,
great. Thanks for the update. Anybody else? Anybody else? Oh, Robert, I see.
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate that. Good evening, members of City Council. I had two meetings that I wanted to bring to your attention and also to bring to the attention of the folks that are watching at home. This upcoming Thursday, 10:30 a.m., we will be celebrating the groundbreaking, the official groundbreaking ceremony of the King Supercenter. That's on 50th and Bridge. That's on the northeast corner. Again, 10:30 in the morning. Public's welcome to come out and have a piece of groundbreaking cake with us and enjoy the fact that we are opening up that center. They estimate about 300 construction jobs will be involved with the project over the course of the next year. And then when King Supers opens, there's about 200 to 250 permanent jobs that will be on site there, as well as all of the other development that will happen around it. So wanted to take the moment to celebrate the moment when that started off officially. If you've been up there, you can see that there's a lot going on already, but when we get up there, we will celebrate. The other thing I wanted to bring to your attention is on September the 17th, our normal Brighton Economic Development Corporation board meeting will be happening on that morning. But as you know, throughout the course of 2013, we've combined those with panel discussions of a variety of sorts and types. This next one on the 17th of September will be the education of the workforce of tomorrow. As you may well know, job openings are available out in the community. Sometimes we don't match up with our skills, and our education needs to be in the right place. And so that has become an economic development issue over the course of the last couple of years. And we've got some experts that will be out there. Someone for 27J will be here, as Dr. Fiedler talked about a little bit earlier. Their Bolt Academy is one of the innovative ways that they're trying to address the education of the workforce of tomorrow. Somebody from Front Range Community College, somebody from Adams County Workforce Development, some folks from Regis College, and some folks from CU, the State College, to give a perspective on how they're going to handle those challenges going into the future. So we very much hope that you'll be able to come out for that. It's a breakfast that's picked up by the EDC. Seating is limited, but we'd like to have as many folks come out there for that meeting as possible. We do a quick board meeting in the morning, and then we go into the panel discussion after that. So I wanted to bring those two things to your attention. If you have questions, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, I'll sit back down.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
Robert, is that at the Armory? You didn't give a location.
I'm sorry. Yes, it is. It is.
Okay. Thank you. Armory. Mr. Smith. The other one.
The other Mr. Smith, and I have no cough drops. I've just got a quick reminder. There's a meeting tomorrow night. It's an open house for the design of Southern and Tower, and it'll be in this room. It's from 5:30 to 7 o'clock, so if anybody wants to come and see what's going on there, thank you.
You'll have pictures?
They'll have some basics, yes.
Since we're
taking input for design, it's not a complete design yet.
Yes, because there could be some citizens.
There could be, yes. I know at least three or four that intend to be here.
Okay. Yep. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Madam Chernowski.
Good evening. Just a couple events I wanted to remind you of. Tomorrow is our coffee with the city manager, so if any council would like to come, that's at 9 a.m. tomorrow in the basement. And then we also have our 3E's barbecue over at the cemetery, and that's at 11, from 11 to 1. The Adams County Training Facility ribbon cutting, I don't know if it's a ribbon cutting or open house, but that is on Friday at 9 a.m., and then there's also the Safeway ribbon cutting at 11 on Friday. And then everyone is invited to the Dot Saro concert this Saturday at the Armory. That is a free event. It's the first of our three concerts for the Autumn Concert Series. That's at 7 p.m. So last year it was pretty packed, so get there early so you can get your space. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. City Attorney.
Nothing. Thank you.
City Manager. We'll start with Councilwoman Baca. Nothing. Councilman Wallen. You do have something. You took some youth down to CML headquarters.
They did a great job. A lot of things were learned, and I'm sure they will come to us with many requests for how we can work more closely together as we move forward.
Good. I know they did us proud because they always do. Thank you, Kirby.
I do have something. The Brighton Housing Authority had their retreat last week, and we did officially hire Joseph Espinoza as our interim executive director. So we're proud to have him on board as interim right now and hopefully into the permanent position.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem?
Well, I wasn't able to attend, but I hope someone will speak about the market day and the roast that we had for our probably most famous citizen. And then I did want to talk a little bit about this. You know, we were talking the other day about ag tourism and what that might mean, and it's a word that nobody's familiar with, but there's some really two good examples going on right now in our community. And that's Saturday the 24th at called an evening with TR, and I think that's Theodore Roosevelt. I guess he's going to be there in person. Kenny probably knows him, so worked with him before. He must not hear me. He's not smiling. So, it's going to be have chefs there, and they're going to have entertainment, and right out there on the farm. And then following that up is, and I think we all got invitations, the Young Life Farm Dinner, which is going to be another berry patch. Nice, looks like catered white tablecloth dinner. So that's agricultural tourism. So in a nutshell, so it looks like it's taking off out here.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. Councilwoman Rose?
Yes, I have a few. And one, the market day, plus also the roast for Bob Cicada. The roast was excellently done. Sorry, can't say that. But all the speakers did a great job, and Bob was able to get right back at every one of them. So if anybody said something that was especially funny, he also had a funny to go with it. So, but it was a great evening to honor one of our local community leaders. So it turned out we had a great crowd. And I believe the Cicada family thoroughly enjoyed the whole evening. Then market day, I was there, and I also helped man the Brighton Garden Club's booth. Unfortunately, I didn't feel it was very well attended, so I hope we can remedy that in the future. But we had a lot of great markets there. I believe Palizzi's had a market, as well as Lulu's Farm. And then the Rotary was roasting sweet corn, Cicada sweet corn. So there were opportunities to get fresh produce that day. And then also the Rotary, that same day, of course it seems like everything falls on the same day, had their peach and sweet corn sale that also went very well. I wanted to also mention that some of the board members from the Cultural Arts Commission took a short trip to Frederick to view Kathy Wardle's sculpture. And, Gary, you'll have to help me with the title of that. I don't have the exact title.
The Frederick Warrior?
The Frederick Warrior. And if you have a moment to take a little trip, it took about 15 minutes to drive over there. It's beautifully done, and so it would be worth your while to go view it. She did a beautiful job on it, and I can only say kudos to Kathy, our local sculptress, and it's beautiful. So I'm glad we were able to take a few minutes out of our day and view that. And I believe that's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Councilman. Councilman Bell?
Yes, I was privileged to attend the afternoon luncheon provided by our city for the Water, Parks and Recreation, Police, Streets, crews that all really pitched in and made our recent emergency, water emergency, so smooth as it did. I was amazed at how many people were there. I was thrilled at the spirit, and I really wanted to express to all of the employees, both the department heads and to the employees, how much we appreciate the way they just formed a team and didn't watch the clock and made it all palatable or easier for us to all work through. And they all deserve accolades and appreciation. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Maslana. Councilman Edwards.
Thank you, Mayor. Last Friday, I attended a luncheon out at the Eagle View Adult Center that was catered by the chef from the hospital. And it was also kind of dialogued by a dietitian, which was very informational. And it was in relationship to the Mediterranean diet and how they have less, heart problems and those kind of things. And it was actually very outstanding. And probably one of the things I learned most about it is the difference between olive oil, extra virgin olive oil, and clarified olive oil. And they certainly recommended that we needed to start substituting a lot of our oils that we would use would be vegetable and those kinds of oils with olive oils to be more healthy. So I just pass that on to my council.
Thank you, members. I'm sure you started doing all that.
I really have. Yes, I do.
You know, Mayor, the healthiest city in they named some of the healthiest cities in the world, and we had one in the U.S., and it's actually a Seventh-day Adventist community. So maybe I know Councilman Bell gave me a book on that diet, and it's been fantastic for me. As you notice, I've lost a little weight, so maybe he'll get you a copy of it, too. So it works really well.
If nothing else is to come before the council, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
We've got three people that will take, Councilwoman Martinez and then Councilman Edwards. And it's 8:12 p.m. We now adjourn the meeting. And Mara Felton.